You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio and Holistic Health News, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hey, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of NP Radio and Holistic Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Before we begin talking about fantasy football, of course, I have to promote my website, which is www.naturopathicearth.com. Go check it out. There's loads of recipes. I just did a blueberry porridge recipe, which is at the beginning of this year. I also recently wrote an article about the sports drink addiction that's afflicting the youth, about why they're always drinking Gatorade and Powerade and so forth, and they see it as a recreational drink. Check that out. Soon I'm going to have a acupuncturist and a homeopath begin writing at the website as well. So for you people who are into true alternative medicine and naturopathy, you're going to get their point of view. So I'm very, very excited about that. As always, as Jay tells you at the end of these episodes, I do have a crowdfunding account through Patreon. So just click on the links on these notes and you can contribute anywhere from $1 to $1 million if you like. Also, please consider buying Confessions of an Obese Child, my ebook, on Amazon, Kindle, or Barnes & Noble Nook for only $2.99. It goes a long way to helping us defray the cost of the website. And also, please post a review for the book once you read it. And as always, I'm a holistic health coach, paleo-inspired. So if you're in the need to clean up your diet or clean up your life, let me help you out because I might be able to do it. All right, let's talk about fantasy football. So this topic is near and dear to my heart because I played fantasy football, just regular fantasy football, where you draft a team in August and you control and manage the team until the playoffs in December. I did that for 18 years. I did it from 2000 to 2017, and I stopped. This is my first year as of late 2018, early 2019, where I did not play fantasy football. And before we talk about daily fantasy, which is different than regular fantasy, I want to talk about just my experience with fantasy football. I loved fantasy football when I was younger. I started playing when I was about 26, and I was the commissioner for two leagues for 18 years. I started the fantasy football league at the high school I used to teach at, the faculty league, I should say, and I'm not playing with students. And then when I moved to the current school I'm at, I started our league there, and we had 16 owners. And I loved fantasy football. And I also had my league that I created with my college friends 18 years ago, and I was a commissioner for that as well. And so fantasy football is a humongous deal in this country of ours, the United States. And if any of you women have husbands, chances are they probably do fantasy football or daily fantasy football or at least sports gambling. And so I wanted to do this episode because I stopped playing fantasy for certain reasons. And I see how it could be an addiction, especially if you already have that kind of an addiction mindset. Now, when I would play, our entry fee was very minimal, $35 entry fee, and then the winner would get something like, you know, $400, second place got $200. And so it was not big stakes. I have friends and I know family members who have a $1,000 entry fee. Or if you do the high stakes ones, I mean, those entry fees can be $5,000, $10,000. So literally there's so much pressure on you to win or at least finish in the top three because you could get thousands of dollars from managing your fantasy football team very, very well. But I noticed last 2-3 years that it was affecting my life. Now, in the past, I would listen to podcasts that dealt with fantasy football that would give you tips on who to pick up, who to drop, who to start. And I'm assuming everyone listening to this podcast knows what fantasy football is. But just for a quick primer, You draft real-life NFL players in August, and so on your team you might have 2 quarterbacks, 4 running backs, 4 wide receivers, let's just say, no defense or kicker. And then week 1, you have to pick a quarterback, 2 running backs, and let's say 3 wide receivers to start, and you play somebody else in your league, and they have to pick the same thing. Then based on how they do, based on yardage or touchdowns that they throw or catch, you are awarded points. And whichever team, your team or your opponent's team for that week, has the most points at the end of that weekend, they garner a win. So you'd be 1-0 and your opponent would be 0-1. And then next week you would play somebody else. And again, you'd have to make the choice of who to start, who to bench. And then let's say the 4 best teams out of your league would go to a playoff, and then eventually there'd be a final, and then the winner would get all the money. That's essentially how it works. And you can pick up players and trade players and so forth. But I noticed the last 2 years that the anxiety was creeping up. And I noticed that, especially on Sundays, if my players didn't do well, it would just sour my day. And I'd be yelling at the TV, I'd be yelling at my fiance at the time, and I would just be grumpy, and I would just be foul, you know? And I wouldn't be like cussing at my fiance or anything like that, or my ex-wife, because I've been doing this for 18 years. It would just put me in a bad mood. And I noticed, especially when my insomnia kicked in later on the last 2 years, how, like, if I was in a match, and if I was blown out, in some ways it was better that I would be blown out by Sunday night, even though I'd be kind of mad and sad, and I saw it kind of as a indictment of my ability and my characteristic if my team lost. Just like if you're like a Cowboy fan, you love the Cowboys, and the Cowboys lose, you're all bummed out. Like, you somehow contributed it to their loss, even though you don't know them. And this goes back to like wearing jerseys. You know, the funny thing is, why do we wear jerseys? Like, if I'm a Texans fan, because I'm from Houston, right? Why would I wear a J.J. Watt jersey? Am I his bitch? I mean, that's what it's like in prison, right? I'm like labeling myself as their property. It just never makes sense why I wear other people's jerseys. But either way, so in some ways it was best to be blown out. But let's say I was going into Sunday night or even Monday night, I was down by 6 points and they had another player going on Sunday night or Monday night. I would notice that I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep because I'd be anxious about how my team was going to do, how my player was going to do. Were they going to get that catch or those 10 points? Or I needed, you know, 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. Or I had to make sure their player didn't do anything. And I'd be so anxious. And so I'd either watch the whole game late into the night and then look at the scores and always, you know, be vigilant and updating the scores. Or I wouldn't be able to sleep, or because I'd be so anxious and upset. Or even if I won, I wouldn't be able to like calm down for the night. So I noticed it was affecting my sleep, and it was almost becoming like an obsession. Not necessarily like every waking moment of my time, I was going to websites and reading articles, because most I just listen to 2 podcasts a week. But it does take up some aspect of your life. Now, daily fantasy is a little different of a beast. And that's why I really wanted to focus on daily fantasy, because I thought, look, we did that shopping addiction episode not that long ago, maybe 30 episodes of 10 signs you're an online shopping addict. And that's more geared toward the women. So I thought, hey, we got to do one for men, right? So men, it's more like gaming, which we do have that episode. I think it's like episode 72 on gaming addiction. And gambling is another guy. One in porn, we've done the one on porn where 50% of British men in their 30s have erectile dysfunction. So I thought, let's do another man one. So daily fantasy is a little different. So daily fantasy can be played in conjunction with the regular year season-long fantasy. And with daily fantasy, you are using money, and it's similar to day trading on one level, but you are betting money and you are picking players for just that given week to be on your team. And then you're either playing somebody else, some random person on FanDuel or whichever site you're using, DraftKings, or you're playing against hundreds of other people. And based on how well, how many points you accumulate from the players you picked for that week determines how high you are and then determines how much money you make. So DFS can be an addiction. So we're going to be gleaning off an article from Legal Sports Report. It says, is daily fantasy sports a form of gambling? New Rutgers study seems to imply it is. Daily fantasy sports is like gambling. That's the conclusion one will come to after reviewing Rutgers Center for Gambling Studies' recent report titled The Prevalence of Online and Land-Based Gambling in New Jersey. I love the fact that Rutgers has a Center for Gambling Studies. Is that like a legit building, or is it like one guy in some room that has no window? Of course, whether daily fantasy sites like DraftKings and FanDuel are empirically or legally a form of gambling is a conversation for courts and state legislatures, which we'll talk about in a second. Quote, whether or not DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, is gambling is beyond the scope of this report, close quote, the researchers note. However, the report clearly shows DFS players exhibit many of the same traits as traditional gamblers and have a high crossover rate. As it tries to gain approval in state houses across the country, DFS has waged a war against the word gambling. It's not gambling. Well, if you're putting money into something, it's kind of gambling. The industry likes to refer to itself as a skill-based game that has little in common with traditional forms of gambling. Daily fantasy sports proponents use analogies like chess, the stock market, spelling bees, and bowling leagues. Bowling leagues, and sells itself as good, clean fun. Yeah, so they're like chess, and I love spelling bees. How are they like spelling bees? I think that's truly, truly priceless. But let's continue. The Rutgers study indicates it has some things in common with traditional forms of gambling. All right, so let's look at some of the commonalities. So the researchers explain the reasoning behind their conclusion that DFS and day trading are related to gambling. So they have a quote. Quote, a majority of activities listed in this study are historically classified and widely accepted as gambling because they involve spending money on activities with an uncertain outcome and the possibility of winning or losing that can result in harm. However, other activities elude precise classification and are largely context and jurisdiction dependent. Stock trading, for example, is traditionally viewed as a skill-based investment focused on compounding earnings over time. The advent of day trading, however, shifted the focus from investment to the exciting and immediate activity of taking greater short-term financial risks on options and futures for the potential of larger payouts, but also larger losses. Similarly, traditional fantasy sports games were originally season-long competitions based on the actual performance of players and were exempted from the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, which is called UIGA, Yu-Gi-Oh, because they relied in large measure on the knowledge and skills of the players. However, daily fantasy doesn't qualify over that, just like how day trading doesn't. Given the lack of consensus over where high-risk stocks and daily fantasy sports fall in the gambling spectrum, they are included in this study in a separate section. Okay, so like I used to tell my ex-wife, if she or others, like I had some very Catholic religious people like, oh, fantasy football, season-long fantasy football is gambling. And I'd be telling them, no, it's really just an investment. See, I'm investing $35 for the entry fee and I'm hoping that in 5 months it's going to come back with a return. So I never saw regular fantasy football as gambling. But daily is different because you can really get sucked into this just like in day trading. And you can really get sucked into this and next thing you know, you're blowing thousands of dollars. So according to the Rutgers study, a total of 336 respondents out of 1,500 endorsed participation in daily fantasy sports in this past year. In all but seven instances, daily fantasy players also took part in traditional gambling. Okay, that means 98% of daily fantasy players in the survey also gambled on gambling machines, bingo, live casino table games, other games of skill, sports, and horses. Okay, so we know the large majority of people who do DFS also do regular gambling, which makes sense because they're probably gambling addicts and this is just another outlet for them. According to the report, 84% of daily fantasy sports players gambled on non-daily fantasy sports games once a week or more, placing them in the high-frequency group. 95% of daily fantasy players landed in the high-frequency, high-risk-for-problem gambling group. 95% of DFS players would be considered high-frequency, high-risk gamblers. So again, they're inveterate gamblers, and they're just finding another outlet for it. With the 336-person sample, further research will be needed. But on the surface, it appears that daily fantasy sports players share much with traditional gamblers. And when it comes to addiction in general, they're far more likely to succumb than traditional gamblers. Okay, so they have a table here, and this is a fascinating table. Okay, so let's 50% of the people who do daily fantasy smoke. 54% are smokers. 83% consume alcohol, so they drink a lot. 35% are binge drinkers. 33% use illicit drugs, and weed is not included as an illicit drug. Okay, so that means a third of those who participate in daily fantasy sports use drugs like heroin or cocaine. So ladies in the house here. So just know, like, if you know your man is playing daily fantasy sports, just know statistically 55% chance he's a smoker. Maybe you don't know, you smoke a mind your back. 83% are smoking or drinking. A third are binge drinkers. A third are using illicit drugs. 22% have problems with drugs and alcohol. 11% are overeaters. 10% are porn addicts. 27% have serious mental health issues. And 14% have had suicidal ideation or suicidal contemplation. And 10% have attempted suicide. Wow. That's pretty high, ladies. So if you have a man who's doing this, just know statistically, 10% chance he's tried to kill himself, 14% chance he's thought about killing himself, 27% chance he has a serious mental health issue, and then, as I mentioned, 1 in 3 chance that he's a binge drinker or does illicit drugs that are not weed. As the study mentions, one of the stranger findings is the high level of mental health disorders among daily fantasy sports groups. Quote, the study says, notably, daily fantasy players also report high levels of substance abuse, behavioral problems, and mental health issues other than non-DFS gamblers. Half the sample used tobacco, 1/4 used alcohol, and 1/3 reported binge drinking or using illicit drugs that were not weed. Daily fantasy players were more than twice as likely as other gamblers to endorse problems with overeating, nearly 4 times more likely to have problems with sex and pornography, 5 times more likely than the regular general population to exercise excessively. More than 1/4 of them reported serious mental health issues in the past 30 days, twice as many as other gamblers. Wow. So the report also states that daily fantasy sports players were 13 times more likely to report suicidal ideation than traditional gamblers. And they were also 9 times more likely to attempt suicide. According to the study, quote, these findings suggest that daily fantasy sports play is highly correlated with problem and disordered gambling and a host of other mental health problems. And then they recommend policymakers should consider that data, the study suggests. So, policy decisions regarding daily fantasy sports regulation should anticipate a very high prevalence of gambling problems in this group and the negative consequences that typically accompany those problems, such as employment, legal, relationship, financial health, and mental health problems. It is important to ensure there are prevention, education, and treatment resources developed for and available to this population. Close quote. And then the author of the study says at the end, if DFS players are just as or more likely to fall victim to the mental disorders that plague problem gamblers, then similar responsible gaming procedures should be put in place. So look, this is not good news, guys. This is not good news. I'm going to go through this thing one more time. Compared to non-daily fantasy sports gamblers, half of the sample used tobacco, 4/5 used alcohol, 1/3 reported binge drinking and using illicit drugs. Then look at this. Daily fantasy players were more than twice as likely as other regular gamblers to endorse problems with overeating, nearly 4 times more likely to have problems with sex and pornography, and 5 times more likely to exercise excessively. Well, you're thinking, well, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe they're exercise addicts. More than 1/4 of DFS players reported serious mental health issues in the past 30 days. And as I mentioned, they're 9 times more likely to have attempted suicide compared to other gamblers. All right, let's finish up. So right now, the legislation varies state per state. In general, most states allow DraftKings and FanDuel to be active. Now, they have lobbyists, of course, because there's a lot of money to be made from these sites because you're betting as much as you want on your daily fantasy team for that week. And you could be doing multiple ones instead of it just being like one big bet, like let's even like a $500 entry fee for season-long fantasy that's going to pay out. This is a weekly gambling thing. So if you read the tea leaves, similar to the legalization of marijuana, which personally I think is going to be a Supreme Court decision probably in 5 years. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, Trump's never going to allow it. Look, if you look at the tea leaves, the pot tea leaves, if you look at them, just how state by state is legalizing it for medical reasons and then just wholesale recreational use. Now, I think there's 11 states that allow pot. Now, Canada has legalized pot for recreational usage as well. You just see it. It's going down that road. And with not just daily fantasy, but in gambling in general, you see that going down the pipe. Now, as of last year, most states allowed DraftKings and FanDuel to be active in their state. And in fact, if I'm looking at this map, really only Delaware, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, Hawaii, Arizona, Nevada, Idaho, Washington, and Montana, and Iowa don't allow it. Okay, but the other ones, those don't accept new customers. But all the other states, they're active. And there's a quote from the Fantasy Sports Trade Association president, Paul Charchian. And I actually know this guy. I don't know this guy personally, but I used to listen to his fantasy football podcast for a long time. And he's the president. He says, quote, "We're going to battle and we're going to win," Charchian said. He says, "We need to formally legalize fantasy play in all 50 states. So look, that is the road we're going. And if you guys don't know, with sports gambling in general, back in May, they legalized sports gambling in all 50 states. And eventually, it was a Supreme Court ruling on May 14th that allowed sports betting to become legal. And it's going to take like a year or two for it to finally kick in. But like right now, pretty much you have to go to Vegas to bet legally. But pretty much soon, you're going to be able to do sports betting and, you know, put points on like this weekend's NFL games or whatnot anywhere. It's just going to take some time. So this is the road that we're going on. Now, do I think this is a good thing? I mean, like with anything, like, I mean, if you have a tendency, a propensity to be addicted to stuff, this is not a good thing. All right. But at the same time, do I think we need to put in prohibition against it? No, not necessarily. I think that we are a free country, and the libertarian me says, look, if unfortunately you have a spouse who wants to blow all their money on daily fantasy and you look at your account and all your savings is gone, that's really unfortunate. And definitely we need the resources to help that person. They need to go to therapy and counseling. But should we have a prohibition on it? No, not necessarily. Because look, I mean, there's a lot of things you can be addicted to that we can't ban. We can't ban food. We can't ban Amazon. We can't ban sex if you're a nymphomaniac. And we can't ban necessarily alcohol, even though we did it for 13 years during Prohibition. But these are things that we can't ban. So what it really is these people who are addicted, and I talk about this in Confessions of an Obese Child, we all just pick our poison. You know, we have some disordered view. We haven't done the deep work to figure out why we need to have an escape in either sex, porn, shopping, gambling, video games, screens, Pinterest, whatever it is. And so we need to figure out, do the deep work so we won't want to do that. But banning all these things will just make it go black market. And like it's essentially been black market, especially regular sports betting, and people still do it online. It's still possible to do it. But daily fantasy sports, I mean, it's no different than alcohol, right? That one person can go into a bar and just order a glass of wine, order a glass of draft, you know, craft beer or something like that. And the next person will come in and drink seven in an hour. So there's really no way to control it. So some people do daily fantasy just for fun and bet $5, $10, and it's not a livelihood. It doesn't occupy their whole time. And then the next guy's going to do it and blow $30,000 and become an addict. So it's a tricky thing. I will say personally, going back to my fantasy experience, I've never done daily fantasy and I'm not interested in it. And this is the first year I didn't do regular fantasy, season-long fantasy, and I'm happy. I love it and I'm never going to go back because now I can watch football, I can watch the Texans and not worry about my team, not always refreshing my ESPN app to see how my team is doing every freaking second. I'm watching the red zone and I'm screaming when my opponent's player scores a touchdown or when my guy throws an interception or drops a pass. I don't miss that constant stress, that constant vigilance. And some of you can play fantasy season longer daily and not get worked up in it and not get sad or anxious or apoplectic and your blood pressure goes up. And great, look, that's more power to you. That's not me. And so, look, I gave fantasy up. I don't miss it at all. Now I can watch football here and there. I can watch my Texans or watch the Cowboys, who I despise beyond belief, and I hope they choke. I can watch them and not have to worry about all of that. So I don't miss the stress, and I will never go back to season-long fantasy, and I'll never go back to daily fantasy, or I never went to it, but I'll never play that. But my last thought is this, ladies especially, but if you guys are listening too, you saw the statistics we talked about with men who are doing daily fantasy. So if you have a man in your life who is doing daily fantasy, just know, much 9 times higher risk of suicide attempts, the high risk of abusive drinking, the high risk of binge eating, the high risk of doing illicit drugs. 1 in 3 are doing illicit drugs that aren't marijuana, and all the other statistical indicators. So if you are equivocal, or you're like vacillating whether or not it's good or bad for you, or whether or not DFS is gambling, just like day trading, it is gambling. This Rutgers study is clear. Daily fantasy sports is gambling. It exhibits similar characteristics as to regular sports gambling or poker gambling. And it actually is worse on other levels than the aforementioned types of gambling, in that you have a 9 times higher rate of suicide and all the other statistical indicators that I mentioned earlier in the episode. So yes, it is gambling. So if you have a man that is doing this a lot, he's probably hiding it from you, because typically that's what people do have an addiction. If he's hiding it from you, you need to sit him down and have a talk. Figure it out. Watch your accounts, especially if you guys have separate accounts. Watch your accounts and sit down and have a talk with them and say, you know, sweetie, honey, I think you have a problem. We need to work on this and get him into therapy, or at the least watch him. Now, of course, he might say that you're controlling and you're like, you can't tell me what to do. You're a nag. You're controlling me. But look, if you guys have a shared income, or you're sharing your money, you have a right to know how the money is being spent and if he's blowing all your money on gambling. So yes, it is your business. You need to know. So definitely have the talk and be worried if your man is doing daily fantasy sports, not just in football, but I mean, you can do daily fantasy sports now in a lot of other sports. So if you notice that he's doing just regular fantasy football all year, he's doing like fantasy NASCAR, fantasy British Premier League soccer, fantasy basketball all year, and he's in like 5 different leagues where each one is the entry fee is $500, that is problematic. But that's even season long, which isn't as problematic. But if he's doing daily fantasy in all the sports all year round, chances are he's got a major problem, and chances are he's doing sports betting. And now with the advent of the law being passed this year, both for daily fantasy being legalized in what, 40 states right now, and regular gambling, it's only going to get worse. So you guys have to nip it in the bud. All right, guys, that's all I have to say. Please post a review, an honest review on Apple Podcasts for this podcast. If you get anything out of it, please give it a positive review. And as always, hit the subscribe button so these episodes come to you daily. And if you want me to mention or go over a certain topic, please friend me on Facebook, or actually go to the Holistic Health News Facebook page and post something there. I get about 20, 25 friend requests on Facebook every day. And the problem is a lot of these might be bots, or they might be 12-year-old Pakistanis that are trying to data mine me. So look, if you want to friend me on Facebook, that's awesome. I would love it. But just send me a little message saying, hey, Gregory, I listen to your podcast. So that way I know you're like a legitimate person and you're not some, you know, 16-year-old guy from South Sudan who's trying to do something nefarious. All right, guys, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Holistic Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Holistic News Now, and at our Facebook page at Naturopathic Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Buy The Confessions of an Obese Child ebook on Amazon or Barnes & Noble Nook. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this. And remember, the core belief at NPE: let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. Until next time, music courtesy of Nine Inch Nails.